Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. The shepherd knows his sheep, and the sheep know their shepherd by the sound of his voice. This means they are in the presence of their shepherd very often. Shepherding in the Middle East is quite different from how we know how to shepherd here. Here, if you want to move your sheep or your goats or whatever livestock you have, you drive them. You push them from the back. Make them move to the new grazing location. I'm sure some of you have probably even watched dogs used to assist in this effort, trying to keep the livestock from doubling back. We drive our animals from behind. The shepherds of the Old and New Testament, and still to this day in the Middle East, lead from the front. The sheep follow their shepherd and trust the voice of their shepherd because the shepherd has shown that he loves and cares for them. He never leads them into danger. He leads them to good grass. He finds water for them. He keeps them clean. And when a stray sheep goes its way and falls into danger because of their own waywardness, the shepherd hunts them down and is happy to carry them back into the fold. Now, something that it took me a while to figure out for myself is this. Sheep will not lie down until everything is completely perfect and every anxiety that they might have is checked off. And the shepherd that we hear today is a shepherd that does this and then some. The relationship between shepherd and sheep of the Bible is different from what we know now, at least here. And the relationship expressed so well in the Bible is one of love. The shepherd loves his sheep, and his sheep love him. And as it is now, so it will be at the final judgment, when all the sheep and all the goats stand before the judgment throne. And who do we see upon the throne? It's none other than the Good Shepherd. He knows his sheep now and will know them in the end. The Good Shepherd is also the judge, and he will separate the sheep from the goats. Or in Ezekiel's case, he will judge sheep from sheep. The final judgment has little to do with the actions of the people. People considered good in the sight of the world go to hell all the time. Only those who follow the words of the Good Shepherd by faith will be saved. Saints are saved by grace through faith, not by works. At the moment of the great separation, we will hear the same voice that we've heard and known all along. The grace we receive then is the same grace that we have received from the very beginning and every Lord's Day in this place. What will happen on the day will not be a surprise to those who have been listening and heeding the voice of the Good Shepherd and those who trust that Jesus' death atones for their sins. The last judgment is just the Good Shepherd making good on his promise to keep his word. All who live in him now by faith will live with him forever, and those who are not living in the Good Shepherd now will not be living with him forever. So for the sheep, there is no fear for the day of our Lord's return and final judgment or proclamation. We know the Good Shepherd, and he comes to save us from the prowling wolves. And you know his name. His name is Jesus. He is your Good Shepherd, born of the Virgin Mary, the perfect Son and servant of David, who came in the flesh to search and rescue his sheep. The Son of David, the Good Shepherd, crushed the satanic lion who threatens us. And by his cross, Christ has established his kingdom forever. That is what he did by laying down his life for you, only to take it up once again, so that you would not be devoured by Satan, who prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking one to devour. Christ died on the cross, giving himself into the jaws of death, so that you might not die, but in fact live. The kingdom grows when the message of repentance and forgiveness of sins is proclaimed in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ's name. In Christ's resurrection, he stripped sin, death, and Satan of all their powers, ensuring that you and I live under his care now and forever. Christ is the first fruit. He is the grain of wheat that, when died, went to the ground. And there is a great harvest to follow. He is not the only one to be raised from the dead, but the first of all of his brothers, you, me, and all believers. As God's word teaches, all will be made right in the end. Christ, who has kept his word, to come in the flesh as the babe born of the virgin, will keep his word and will come again as judge, raising us all from the dust. He will gather us to himself, and we shall be made to shine like he shines. Where he is as bright as the sun itself, the believers in Christ will be made to be as he is at the end. Our Lord Jesus Christ desires this for all people. Jesus was preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, from the very beginning of his ministry, and still that is the proclamation until the day that he returns. To turn from our sinful ways and live, to be reconciled to the Father through the Son, who has come to save from eternal death and hell. The call is still the same, to trust Christ's word that is proclaimed to you. Note very well what Jesus says about the fires of hell. They are not prepared for men, but rather the devil and his angels. People only go there if they do not repent and confess faith in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. Jesus, through the prophet Ezekiel, says, I do not desire the death of the wicked, but that they would turn from their wicked ways and live. Jesus wants all to hear his word and heed its instruction so that they might live and not die. Last week, we heard the parable of the talents and the two servants who were commended for being faithful. They followed in the example of their master. Well, now, you and I follow the example of our shepherd. But before we can do anything in love that would be considered good in the sight of God, the love of God must be first shown to us. First, he saw us as the hungry, the naked, the ones in prison. Jesus has given and continues to give daily bread and feeds you with himself, the very bread of life in his supper. You and I are the thirsty ones for whose bodies Jesus sends rain upon the earth and whose souls have been satisfied with the living water of his word. You and I are the strangers for whom Jesus provides family, friends, companions, and whom Jesus has welcomed into his own house and made us members of his family. We're the ones who are naked and afraid, to whom Jesus grants clothing, shoes, shelter, house, and home, as well as the spiritual blessings, his own robe of righteousness given to us in holy baptism. We are the ones sick with sin, whom Jesus visits and mercifully cares for as the great physician of both body and soul. We were the ones first in prison, the house of death, and set free through the forgiveness won for us by Christ's sacrificial death on the cross. These things the Good Shepherd does for his sheep because he loves his sheep. All these things you have and continue to receive from him because you are his beloved little lamb. Christ says, "Remain, abide in me." He has the words of eternal life. Abide in his love. Live a life that is Christ's. It is a life that began at the font, and it's a life that never ends. You live this life by being where the living voice of your shepherd calls you to be. He leads you here to this place where his peace is given to you, poor and anxious as we might be. And he forgives us, and he strengthens us in our faith, that we might trust in him and taste and see that he is in fact very good. And this faith of yours in Christ Jesus will be demonstrated in your works. For faith without works is dead. A living faith in the Lord Jesus produces the fruits of faith, which express our love for God's word and love for one another. That means joyfully receiving from Christ his gifts of word and sacrament for the forgiveness of your sins. And now being filled with that love of Christ Jesus, that love now spills out towards your neighbors. If you are a husband, that means giving up your life for your wife. If you are a father, that means acting the part of a man and not walking away from your responsibilities. Wives, that means showing respect towards your husbands and love towards your children. Students, honor your teacher, because they are an authority figure placed over you. And so on and so forth. The works conform to the Ten Commandments and the summary of both tablets of the law. Jesus looks at the second tablet, the second table of the law, most prominently here in our reading for today. Sheep love their neighbors as themselves. These works are what Jesus points to in his sheep as evidence of their faith in him for their salvation. They are not his sheep because they did these good things. Instead, they did good things because they are his sheep. And also note, when the sheep are commended for their works, they basically say, "When did we do these things?" Don't look at our works because we know we failed at some point. When did we do these things? They're looking for God's mercy. They simply followed the example of their master, and they followed in his way, doing the things which their master, their Savior, had done for them. Loving, serving, forgiving. These sheep are far from perfect, but they are justified for the sake of Christ. Yes, they are sinners, and yes, they are saints. We too are forgiven for the sake of the Good Shepherd, the suffering servant of the King who now sits on the throne forever and ever. As we sang, the head that once was crowned with thorns sits in glory now. For he has brought about your salvation and your transformation that we might be saved. Do we not see Christ among us now? Or do we pass by uncaring and self-obsessed? Do we keep a tighter circle around ourselves? Do we follow our good shepherd? Or do we stray from our shepherd's voice to the point that we no longer care to listen and thus lose our way? Repent. Receive the forgiveness of Christ Jesus and the life that he has for you. Hear his voice. Heed his instruction. Come to his altar. Receive his life for you, that you might live like him and live for him as well. Turn away from your unbelief and your idolatry of the things of this world, as well as the vainglory that revels in it. And come to the Good Shepherd who is your judge. Be in his care now and forever. When the last day comes, we may be surprised, not that we are called his chosen and that we should enter into the kingdom prepared for us from the foundation of the world, but rather we may be surprised at what situations our Lord Jesus actually points out and commends. It probably won't be the really big, important days or the things that you thought were important that you did, but all the stuff that you likely have forgotten all about, all the little things that you've done in love, feeding, changing a diaper, visiting, calling folks on the phone, praying for your family and friends, doing things for complete and utter strangers, maybe even praying for your authorities. Not because you had to, but because the love of Christ compelled you to do so. You are, after all, following in the footsteps and voice of the Good Shepherd. As the last day approaches, do not fear. On the last day, you will see your shepherd, your Good Shepherd, and you will put a face to the voice that you've heard all along. He is the one who has cared for you since the beginning. And you will hear those wonderful words, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And you will. You will enter his rest and take your seat at his table, the marriage feast of the Lamb, which has no end. And until that day, come often to this table and receive the forgiveness and life of your Savior now, and enjoy it now, as well as forever. In the holy and blessed name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit bless you and preserve you unto life everlasting. Amen.